Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Last week we looked at the love of God, the amazing ways in which our God loves us, and certainly I believe as we drew out last week, the most incredible way that we understand God's love is whenever Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross for our sin. This morning I thought it would be appropriate for us to come back and to look at God's incredible goodness, and I want to draw from the context of Psalms 36, and in the context here, the psalmist begins by identifying the evil ways of a wicked man, and how that individual has no fear of the Lord before his eyes, but rather that this individual constantly is thinking about the ways in which he's able to progress through the world, the way in which this individual is able to do things that are beneficial for himself, and the way in which he's able to deceive individuals that he comes in contact with on a daily basis, and he takes no thought of our God. However, he goes from that point of thinking about the evil and the wicked individual and the way that that person thinks and maneuvers as to the way in which our God is. He identifies concerning how that God reigns in heaven and that God is always faithful and that God, His righteousness is greater than any mountain that man will ever be able to see. But at the same time, the judgment of God is great in its depth. And how that God works continually in the life of mankind to preserve man, but also to preserve beasts. How that God not only created you and me after His image, but that God continually works for His creation for the good of humanity. And what a blessing and great joy that must bring to each and every one of us, especially those who are Christians, those who strive to walk according to the commandments of our God. In verse 7 of Psalm 36, he says, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." Under the shadow of your wings is what I want us to key in on, if you would, this morning. Under the shadow of your wings is an expression that is used only here and two other times in Scripture. And whenever he identifies under the shadow of your wings, they come. And good people, that is imagery that most scholars say, and I would concur with, is that it is an image of a mother chicken, a hen, who has little chicklings. And the mother hen identifies whenever there is danger that is coming upon them, and she spreads her wings, and the chicks gather under her wings, and she folds her wings down to protect the chicklings, laying her own life on the line. And that certainly is a way in which our God operates with you and me. Our God wants so much to be able to take us under His wings, but yet at the same time, you and I must be willing and ready to do what it is that He commands us to do in order for us to receive His protection. As we think in regard to what it is that is here in this image, good people, I think that it also identifies to us at least three key points that we need to think about in regard to the relationship that we have with God. Number one, I believe that it tells us that our God is indeed approachable. We are able to approach God. How are we able to approach God? Whenever we live our life here, the Scripture very aptly tells us that we sin against God, and that sin separates us from a relationship with God, and that sin must be done away with in order for us to be able to be aright with God. Jesus Christ is that avenue that God gives us in order for us to maintain, or in order for us to gain and then to maintain a relationship with Him. He is the way, the Scripture tells us. And what does that mean, that He is the way? Good people, He is the eternal plan for our redemption. But also, He is the name. There's no other name given among men whereby that man must be saved. And when we think in regard to the name of Christ, it speaks in reference to His eternal authority. He is the spokesman for God, telling man what it is that we must do in order to receive salvation. He is the example for man. His life serves as an example for each and every one of us, so that we're able to see the life that He lives and then to emulate that, to follow according to His divine example. But in like figure, when we think in regard to approaching God through Christ, we must submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, so that our sins are able to be washed away. And at that time then that we're able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that, good people, is the eternal plan of salvation. That is God's plan of redemption. We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, but we contact the blood of Jesus Christ by doing what God commands us to do in baptism, to have our sins washed away and then to be raised to walk in newness of life. God is most certainly approachable through Jesus Christ our Lord. But also, this morning I tell you that our God is approachable through prayer. As Christians, God tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. I'm reminded of a story that I heard of a captain of a sea vessel, a fishing vessel out in the Gulf of Alaska. And as they're fishing, the storm comes up and they find that they are in grave danger, and the captain calls all of the crew together. There were 10 in all, counting himself. And he asks them, he says, any of you know how to pray? He says, I really just need one individual who might know how to pray. And this one person stands forward and he says, Captain, I know how to pray. I pray all the time. And the captain says, that's a wonderful thing, because he says, I have 9 life jackets and the 9 of us are going to put them on and you start praying. Prayer is for all of us. Not one of us, but all of us as Christians. And God wants us to understand that He desires for us to speak to Him. He hears us when we pray as Christians, and He not only hears our prayers, but good people, He listens to us intently as to the things that we have going on in our life. He cares about us, and He considers the things that we have in our lives and the requests that we would lay before Him. But not only do we understand that God hears us and that He listens and that He cares and that He takes into consideration the things that are important to us, our God also supplies answers. And God tells us that we are to pray always unto Him, and that each and every one of us as Christians continually need to understand the importance of turning to our Heavenly Father in prayer. But also the Scripture tells us that our God is approachable through service. Our God sends us out into the world. And good people, as God sends us out into the world, He wants us to not be affected by the ways, the evil that the world has to offer. But rather, as He sends us out, He sends us out on a mission, and that mission is Christ-centered. And that mission is to glorify our Heavenly Father. And that mission is not only to serve God faithfully as an individual Christian, but also to serve God collectively with His people, the Lord's church. And God, in sending us out, He blesses each and every one of us with talents. And some have maybe not as many talents as others, but yet at the same time, God wants us to understand that each and every one of us have talents and abilities that are indeed God-given. And He wants us then, as He tells us that He gives us these talents, to identify our talents and to invest His talents on a continual basis into the work that He lays before us. And as He sends us out with the multiple talents, good people, our God tells us that He does not send us out alone. He sends us sometimes with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but still, He does not send us out alone. He is there with us, working as the silent partner, if you would. Certainly we understand the way that God works with us through the Word of God, but still, God is with us. He is abiding with us on a continual basis. Take into consideration Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. When the Great Commission was laid before the apostles, whenever they were told to go into all the world making disciples, He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, listen to this. Teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. As long as we abide with our God, good people, our God will abide with us in life, but God will also abide with us during the times in which we are serving Him. He is approachable in that manner. But also today, we need to understand that our God is approachable through our worship. Worshiping God is indeed one of the greatest blessings and opportunities that you and I have in life. And I hope and pray that you get as excited about coming together as what I do. I am so thrilled with every opportunity that we have to be with each other as members of the Lord's church, but also as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a blessing it is to be able to look out as the preacher here at East End and to see you, your beautiful face, but also to see that beautiful smile that you have and that excitement and enthusiasm that you have to hear our God's Word proclaimed. Worship is indeed one of the greatest blessings that we have, but it also is one of the greatest responsibilities that we have. And as we come together to hear God's Word taught and to observe the Lord's Supper and to go forward with all of the acts or the avenues of worship. And as a result of that, as a result of all that I've mentioned, and even much more, we are able to be edified. And that word edified or edification means that we are built up. We receive instruction from God's Word that is essential for our lives. But good people, also as we look to God's Word, those words, God-given, God-breathed message, ought to inspire us to live closer to God each and every day while we are here in this world. And as we worship God, certainly we must worship Him in a scriptural way, but we need to understand that as we worship God, our worship to God is directional. It is directed at our Heavenly Father. And the Father, the Scripture tells us, is seeking such to worship Him, those who worship Him in spirit and in truth, that is. And therefore, we need to understand, as John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 very clearly tells us, that our God is approachable in our worship assembly. But as we think to the imagery there back in Psalm 36 and verse 7, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings, I want us to also understand that our God gives us strength continually. Man is commanded to work in life. And that can be challenging. A story I'd like to share with you is about a new employee that was hired at a hotel. And the individual had the role of playing, wearing different hats, I think, as what we would say today. And the first day on the job, the boss says to the new employee, I want you to go and to clean the elevators. And whenever you get done cleaning the elevators, then I want you to come back to me and I'll give you your next assignment. And the gentleman takes his cleaning supplies and he enters into one of the elevators and he starts to clean it. And at the close of the day, the boss has not seen the employee. Not seen him once. And he thought to himself, well, he's probably just like the rest of the employees that I've recently hired for that job. He thought that he was better than that and he walked away from it. Well, 4 days later, the boss gets on the elevator and he sees the employee and they're cleaning on the elevator. And he says, tell me, you've not been cleaning on this for 4 days. And he says, oh, yes. He says, I have for the last 4 days. He says, you know, we have a lot of elevators here. He says, there's 40 stories here. And he says, I found that each one of them had two elevators each on it. And sometimes they're not there. Sometimes our work can seem like it is so difficult. Sometimes our work can seem as if it's never going to end. And God tells us that we need to look to our employment as a blessing from God. God gives us that ability. He lays before us that opportunity to be able to supply for our families, to work with our hands in order to make certain that we have food on the table, that we have clothes on our back, that we have shelter to go to and a bed to lay our heads in upon each and every night. But also God wants us to understand that there is responsibility and God will give us the strength that is needed in order for us to be able to do what He commands us to do. God gives us strength to labor each and every day, but also God tells us that He gives us strength during times of temptation. Good people, I tell you this morning that the devil, he is everywhere. He is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he comes at us at times in which we might not expect it. He comes at us in ways that we would not even imagine. And in all of that, though, not only do we understand that the devil is everywhere and that he is very powerful, but God, our God, is eternal. And our God, He is so awesome. And the Scripture tells us that whenever we face the trials and temptation, and while sometimes the devil is able to beat us down and to catch us off guard, God tells us that He most certainly supplies a way of escape. And that you and I, we need to be wise and always looking for those ways, those means of salvation, or that means of escaping the temptations that Satan lays before us. And the Scripture tells us that God is faithful in always being there to give us that means of escape. And God's there to give us that strength in doing that. But also the Scripture tells us that God gives us strength to do His divine will. I tell you very admittedly today as I stand before you that there are things that are stated in Scripture and commandments that God gives us that are very difficult. And as we look to the things that God tells us to do, and our lives may not line up with what He commands of us, that's where the challenge comes in. We look to maybe our position that we're in life, or we look to maybe what our heart is sold on doing, and if it does not line up with God, then we say, you know, that's too hard for me. That's too challenging. But God wants us to look at it from another angle. He wants us to look at it from the divine way of seeing things, is that God calls us to be holy people, and in order for us to have a relationship with Him, then we've got to understand the blessings that are involved in what He's telling us to do. Number one, God does not tell us to do things that is impossible, but rather God tells us to do things that are very possible for us to do if we will just submit our will to the will of God. If we will surrender ourselves and to say, it's bigger than me, but rather I've got to do what God wants me to do in order for me to have the relationship with Him now, but also so that someday I will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him. And when we think about God's will and the fact that sometimes things are indeed difficult or challenging for us, we need to understand that these things are beneficial. And yes, I'm stressing today that it's beneficial from a spiritual standpoint. But good people, think about the things that God commands us to do also. It's beneficial from life here in this world, for the things that we engage in each and every day. The things that God commands us to do, not only will it make us better spiritually, but the things that God calls us to do, they also make us better, a better person. And we fit better in life. And the world sees that. And that's why the world sees that oftentimes that those who are Christians are different than they are. But then also God gives us strength to complete this life. For the Christian, it's more than living life. And life is important. Life must be taken serious. But also, I tell you that life needs to have its fun moments. We need to have our opportunities that we kick back and that we enjoy life with our family and our friends and our brethren. It's not all about just, you know, going through life in a very serious and somber way. I think that God wants us to wear a smile on our face. I believe that God has a sense of humor. I told a story in class of where that an individual had sent me a message. Drew Barrett had sent me a message a few weeks ago about a turkey hunting, and if I was turkey hunting or if I was out doing hospital visits. And I said, neither. I was on my way over to Miranda's place to do some work, and 10 minutes later, as I'm going down the road, a turkey flies into the side of my truck. And I thought to myself, He's got to have a sense of humor. In fact, I text Drew back and said, God's got to have a sense of humor. He's got to be laughing. He wants us to enjoy life and to take it serious. But as Christians, we know that life is so much more than life here. It must have a good finish. We must remain faithful to God until death, even if it means the taking of our life. And each and every one of us need to live life to its fullest, but at the same time to live our life faithful to God, so that whenever we stand before Him in judgment, that heaven will be our eternal home, our eternal abode. But as we think about that imagery that's given there in Psalm 36 and verse 7, again, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wing. Good people, I believe that that also communicates to us is that our God has compassion towards us. Our God cares for each and every one of us personally. Isn't that amazing? Just to know that God looks at not only all of the world. He gave His Son for the entirety of the world, but He looks to each and every one of us in a very personal way before we were even born. God knew us. Jeremiah says that in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before He ever came into existence, God knew who He was. And God knows each and every one of us in a very personal way. And God cares for us. He cares for our life. He understands what's going on in our life. And He wants to convey that to us in a very personal manner. Yes, we read the Scripture. We study the Scripture as a congregation. And that's necessary for us to do. But as we communicate these things, God wants us to also internalize it on a personal level and to say, God, He has compassion towards me because of who I am. And God also cares for us from a physical standpoint. He wants us to be in good health. And He commands us to exercise our bodies. As we were going through the school of preaching, Brother Charles Brown was one of the instructors at the time. I believe maybe he still teaches a class or so. And he did a chapel talk. We were there maybe just a few days. And he says, the Scripture where God communicates bodily exercise profits little, but godliness. And he stressed upon the godliness, how that there's benefit and a blessing in living a godly life. But then he went back and he says, I also want you to understand where he says bodily exercise profits little. He says, I want to emphasize on the profits there. There's benefit in exercising and staying healthy. And God wants us to be able to do that and to do those things to the glory of His name. He wants us to love ourselves, and as we look to loving ourselves, to keep that in check. But as we love ourselves, to love ourselves in a godly way to the point to where we take care of ourselves and to realize that we don't belong to ourselves, but rather that we have been bought with a price, and therefore to glorify God with every fiber of who we are and what we represent while we are here. And God has compassion toward us in Scripture to tell us that He wants us to be all that we can be from a physical standpoint. But then in like figure, God tells us that He cares about us whenever our hearts are heavy, whenever we are dealing with things that bring us down from a health standpoint. Maybe we're dealing with physical illness, or we're dealing with a disease, or we face a point where that we're dealing with the death of a loved one, and this brings our heart so down, and it brings us to our knees to where that maybe we're in tears, and we find that we're turning to God in prayer, and God calls upon us to call upon Him. He invites us to bring all of our burdens, to bring all of our cares before Him. Remember what Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And good people, there's no greater rest than the rest that you and I can receive as children of God. Whenever we have cares that are so hard, burdens that are so heavy for us to bear, to lay them on God and to trust in Him, to know that He is compassionate and working in amazing ways in our lives to bring forth good. You know, the greatest way in which God has compassion toward us, though, is towards the soul that we have been given by Him. The soul is placed within the individual at the time of conception, I believe. Why do I say that? Because that's when life begins. Is at the point that conception takes place in the womb. And that soul lives within us as we are here in this world. And that soul will someday stand before God in judgment. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, the Scripture says that it is God's desire for all mankind to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. Every single one of us represents a soul in the sight of God that will dwell eternally, either in heaven with God, or will suffer eternally in eternal condemnation and punishment in hell. And God does not want that, but rather God wants us to be saved. He wants us to embrace Him as our Heavenly Father. and to live our lives committed to Him and to the very end, no matter what it is, no matter how Satan pulls at us, to always stay directed towards Him faithfully in life. Our God loves us so much that He gives us opportunities to be saved. And today I ask you, have you accepted God's goodness in Jesus Christ? That's where you will find His goodness to begin with. And whenever you come to understand the goodness of God in Christ and the forgiveness that He offers in and through the blood of Christ conjoined with your obedience to His will, you will explore and you will see in new heights how good God can be in your life. But also, not only for those who are outside, do we want to extend the invitation. What about those who are members of the Lord's church? Today I ask you, are you walking in God's goodness each and every day? Are you living the way that God commands you to live? Or have you stepped off in sin and living by sin? All sin and fall short of the glory of God, and if we sin in a private way, then private prayer is needed. But if we sin in a public way that brings reproach upon the body of Christ, then those things have to be taken care of in a public way. And God commands us to walk in His goodness so that He will be glorified each and every day of our life through the works that we do. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, we invite you